Hallelujah, Judge.
Amen.
I'm so humbled to be here.
Amen.
And the Lord is good on my side and on your side.
Amen.
This is now my third time to be in Zambia. The first time I came by road, from Tanzania, Faindola. And I was going to Lubumbashi. It took me 4 days on the way. And the second time, I came here in 2018. We attended some meetings there in the church, the schools where you are meeting there. I don't remember the name of the school. What? Yes, yes. We came with Sekulu Ferem, accompanied by Brother Jonah. And we arrived a day before Pastor Tim McKay arrived. So this is now my third time to be in Zambia. And you know the meaning of the number three. So I trust in God that there is something special for that number.
Amen.
And I also appreciate my pastor, Ferem. I had no plans to come in Zambia.
Amen.
I was coming to attend the meetings in the concession. And after that, Chitungwiza and then Kopa. But when the meeting ended, he was telling me that he has a mission in Zambia. So in my heart, I was not troubled because I know that he will be coming to Zambia while I will be preparing to go back home. But the second day, he told me, no, my mission in Zambia is ahead. It is not at this time, but I am feeling in my heart that we go with you in Zambia.
Amen.
Yeah, so I was wondering what is happening. But I know that the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
So it is my happiest moment to have elders like him, who has been in the ministry for many years and is sacrificing a lot to take me around with such a simple and humble ministry.
Amen.
So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. I have really enjoyed my stay in Zambia.
Amen.
This is like my second home.
Yes.
And when I will go back home, I have more to tell concerning how God is doing here.
Amen.
There is many things that the Lord is doing under this ministry. But because you stay around, you are taking it just as usual. But people like us who are coming from far, we are really appreciating for what the Lord is doing here. God bless our pastor. God bless our pastor, Andrew Piri.
Amen.
And all his ministering team for what the Lord is doing through them here. So before I proceed, I bring greetings from my family and also the church back home.
Amen.
Yeah, we have also several churches whom we work with. And I am really happy that they are also supporting us.
Amen.
So they send greetings and they are continuing to send greetings wherever I will be going. So thank you so much for having a large heart to accommodate us here. So maybe I want just to give a brief description of my church. From Nairobi to our place, it is around 10 hours drive. So we are near the border of Uganda. So from Eldoret to our home, it is 80 kilometers. I come from a place called Kitale, and the church is called Tongareni. Pastor Ferem has been there several times. And also we have hosted there other ministers from Southern Africa. So I hope that the next move, we shall be hosting Lusaka Church. So, God willing, we are having meetings in December. We have a convention in December starting from 7th up to 12th. So I hope that you will support your pastor to come. So it is my humble request to the church.
Amen.
We shall be very happy to receive him, because we have many people in our churches who are being benefited from the daily devotion team.
Amen.
So they have been hearing about Brother Jesse, Brother Andrew. So we shall be very happy so that we will meet you face to face. God bless you. God bless your ministry. Thank you so much. We shall stand as we prepare to read the word of God. We shall open our Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25 to 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 up to 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such a thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. May God add the blessings of the reading of his word. Amen. We can be seated. Our sharing this morning, I want to share about the needs of the bride. The needs of the bride. Because we are the bride of the Lord Jesus, we have special needs.
Amen.
Whereby our husband is so busy preparing to provide for those needs. And we shall see many places by the word of the Lord how we can receive the needs of the bride. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands is in plural, and also wives is in plural. This was showing the love between Christ and the church. And because we are a natural people living on this natural world, The Holy Spirit was bringing a comparison between the spiritual things and the physical. And Paul was speaking to natural people like us. So he was bringing comparison of husbands, love your wives. But here, when we go to verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So we see our husband went to prepare for a place, to prepare a place for us. And our husband has a very powerful name. So the first needs of the bride is the name of the husband. That is the greatest need today that we need in order to prosper in this journey. Because that is the reason why when you are going for baptism, you take the name of your husband. When you pray, you take the name of your husband. And when you are also chasing demons, you take the name of your husband. There is no any other name in heaven or on earth or below the earth except the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that in the name of Jesus we shall be established. Even the ministry we are laboring and preaching in the name of Jesus. So our husband who is the Lord Jesus is laboring in love. And love covers the multitudes of sin. And love is a powerful weapon in the kingdom of Satan. We cannot overcome Satan minus love. And the Bible says love is God. So the Lord Jesus was teaching the church the deeper things. That is why we are here today. Because we have come to receive the needs of the bride. The needs of the bride is not argument. Argument is not food. But we need the needs of the bride. I have never seen the bride arguing with other people when she's being prepared for the wedding. When the bride is being prepared, she is focusing on the needs of the husband. And on the needs of that day. So the Lord is also preparing for a great day ahead of us. And that day is the rapture. My brothers and my sisters, the Lord is so happy to make sure that you receive every need you require on this channel. So in verse 26, the Bible said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So we see another need of the bride is the washing of the water by the word. This is not natural water. It is not the water from the river. It is not the water from the ocean. It is not the water from a certain tap or a certain company. I don't know if you have water company in Zambia. You have it. This is not water from the water company of Zambia. But this is the special water which the husband has sent to wash the bride. And this water is the water of the word. And this water is the ministry. It is the ministry which is bringing enough water to sustain the church. So this water is not available anywhere. It is only available in the place where Jesus put his name. So you cannot access this water by a certain denomination. You cannot access this water by your own mentality. You only access this water by calling and election.
Amen.
There are special people whom the Lord elected, and the Lord chose to access this washing of the water. So we see our father of faith, Abraham. He accessed this water when God told him, you can open up many wells so that you can access the water so that your animals can drink. So today we are the most privileged people in this generation to access the waters of the water, the waters of the world. So the waters of the world comprises of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. When you combine that ministry together, you get a fivefold ministry, and five is the number of grace, and five is the number of the name of Jesus, and five is also the number of faith. So we are now accessing the washing of the waters of the world. When you access this water, the devil will flee away from you, because it is the living water which can make you holy. It is the living water which will bring life. It is the living water which will bring perfection. It is the living water which will make you stable. This water will make you grounded on the foundation of truth. When you access this water, you will have clear understanding of the word of God. When you access this water, my brother, my sister, you will no longer be swayed to and fro by the teachings of men. You will remain focused on what the Lord is saying. We can see people in the Bible like Paul. When he received this water, he was on the way to Damascus. And the waters of the word came in the form of the pillar of fire. And it blinded Paul to the things of the world and opened the eyes of Paul to the spiritual reality. When we came in this truth, the same water washed our eyes and closed our eyes to the wicked things of this world and opened our eyes to the revelation of the world. This water is a supernatural water. And you cannot go to somebody so that he can assist you to get this water. To get this water, you must be an elect. And the pastor cannot make you to be an elect. Or I cannot come and make you to be an elect. It is the foreordination by the Lord himself. So we have many stages in order to reach the water of the world. I will take three wives of David I know that David had many wives. David had many wives. King David. But David was representing the Lord Jesus. And his wives were representing the church. So we are not talking about polygamy, but we are talking about spiritual things concerning the Lord Jesus and the church. So I will take three wives of David. The first wife was called Michal. She was the daughter of King Saul. And we get the second wife was Abigail. She was the widow of Nabal. And the third wife is Bathsheba. She was the widow of Uriah. So I will take those three wives of David and type spiritual things and what is happening to this dispensation and what is happening to you and me. So we shall start by Michal. We shall read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20 to 27. I will read. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Whereof Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of my two, in one of the two. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, speak with David secretly, and say, behold, the king has delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spoke those words in the ears of David, and David said, it seems not to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this matter, on this manner, spoke David. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desires not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and appointed days were not yet expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistine 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, in marriage. Yes, we are in verse 27. We see this daughter called Michal. She was the daughter of the king. And let us go back and see what was happening in the family of King Saul. King Saul was supposed to be the commander or the leader in the army of Israel. But we see here King Saul had many failures. And we see David had had a lot of success in the areas of military life. And we see here that King Saul, the failures that was coming to him was due to little anointing that he had upon him. Yeah, King Saul was anointed with anointing from a flask. When when Samuel went to anoint Saul to be king, the anointing was from a flask. And the flask is man-made. But when the same Samuel went to anoint David, the anointing was from the horn. And the horn is not man-made. So we see that the horn was showing that in order to get true redemption, a lamb must die. Or a ram must die. To produce the horn, you must kill the ram. So the religion of Saul was man-made religion. That is why you see denominations are receiving anointing from a flask. Man-made miracles. Man-made manifestations. But the bride of Jesus is receiving anointing from the horn. The horn is the power of the Lord Jesus. So as we assemble here in our country, Zambia, we have two anointing in the land. Anointing from the flask and anointing from the horn. So we have people like David. They are anointed with the anointing from the horn. And that company of David represented the pride of Jesus. So anointing of the horn gives you more and deeper revelation of the word. But anointing from the flask, you will get shallow revelation, shallow teachings. That is why King Saul failed. He was a mighty man by natural strength, but spiritually he had not enough anointing. But David was little in stature, but spiritually he had mighty anointing. So while the church was preparing Saul to fight for the battle, the enemy was preparing another man called Goliath. He was a champion in the land of Philistines. Saul was a king and he was not a champion. A champion is somebody who is mighty. Somebody who is mighty. A champion is a fighter. Somebody who has enough experience in the battlefield. So King Saul lacked experience in the battlefield. Many brothers and sisters are failing on this channel because they lack experience in the battlefield. And God was now preparing David in the battlefield. While the devil was preparing Goliath, man was preparing King Saul, but God was preparing King David. So there were three kinds of character that were being prepared to meet. David was from Bethlehem, and Saul was not from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of God's bread. To overcome the enemy, we must be born in Bethlehem. We must be born in the house of God's bread. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus. So when they met in the battlefield, King Saul was trembling before Goliath, because the format of the battle was this. Choose one man. Don't come many. We only need one representative. And if you defeat us, we shall be your servants. And if you defeat us, if we defeat you, you become our servant. That was the covenant of that war. So in Israel, there were many soldiers who were sharpening their spears. They are singing and crying songs of war. But they did not qualify to fight. We have today many people saying that we are a believer. I am a believer. I have the message. But they don't know how to fight the battle. To fight the battle is not to argue, or is not to compete with one another, but it is how you can handle the message in the right way, so that you can produce the life of Jesus Christ. So for 40 days, your people were being supported with food, supported with money, supporting those soldiers of Israel. They were singing songs of only beliefs, but they were not fighting. Even today in many churches, brothers and sisters are singing, praising God, but they are not fighting. That is why the work is not progressing forward. In order for the work of the Lord to succeed, we need frontline fighters. People who are on frontline. Men like David, who knows how to handle the sword, who knows how to handle the word of truth, so that they can pave way for others and ashamed the enemy in the name of Jesus. So David came when the children of Israel, or the army of Israel, were so ashamed. They were trembling. We have also come in the message whereby we are at the end time, or they call us the 11th gendered workers, 11th gendered workers. We come in the end time. So David also come when the day was past spent, and the enemy was terrorizing the army of Israel. So David started inquiring, brother, what is happening here? They started asking him question, when did you believe? Oh, you came in the message recently. You don't understand a lot of things. Do you know this enemy called Goliath? He was born as a champion. He has been fighting all of his life. And he has also been fighting every battle. And there is no battle he has lost. But David was asking, but why can you choose me? So that I can fight this man and remove this your shame from the land of Israel. While his brothers, elder brothers, were preventing him, but the anointing was lifting him higher and higher. Amen. The anointing will lift us and bring us on the forefront. It is not by age, but by the power of anointing. It is not by how many years you have been in the message, but it is by the anointing that you have upon you.
Amen.
And in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, the anointing breaks the yoke of the enemy. Every yoke of oppression, every yoke of sickness, every yoke of confusion, every yoke of misunderstanding will be broken by the power of the anointing. And the anointing is the Lord Jesus. That is our anointer. So the word reached to King Saul that there is a certain man here who can fight Goliath. So maybe King Saul wanted to weigh how many kilos does David weigh? Because Goliath was a heavyweight man, and David was a light man. So David told King Saul, I have a testimony. When I was tending my father's sheep, a pair came, and a pair represented the enemy of Israel also. And I got hold of the pair and I killed it. And while I was tending the flock of my father, the second time, the lion came. So a pair had little strength, and a lion has more strength than a pair. And the third time, David told King Saul, the same pair that I killed, the same lion that I killed, it is the same spirit in Goliath. So I will also kill him today. He did not say tomorrow. Our victory is today. Our success is today. Our strength is today. We are serving the court of today. Our court is not a past tense God. It is a present God. Our ministry is the ministry of today. It is not the ministry of history. It is the ministry that is working today. That is what has brought us here. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. My sister, my brother, today you are hearing the same voice. It is not the voice of man. It is the same voice that shook the mountain. It was the same voice that spoke on Mount Arizona. It is the same voice that speaks to Jonah. It is the same voice that speaks to Martin Luther. The same voice that is speaking through your pastor. The same voice that is speaking through the ministry. Do not harden your heart. Open your heart and receive that voice. And when you receive that voice, it becomes the waters of the word to wash your life, to wash your character, and change even your ministry from one level to another. The bride is not in the same level. The Lord is rising the bride from glory to glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to him. So finally David, King Saul gave him. And he said, okay, the testimony is true. Because for me, I have never killed a bear. I have never killed a lion. The house of God is the house of testimonies. It is not the house of stories. It is the house of testimony. The testimony of victory. Not the testimony of failure. That, oh, you know, pastor, When I was out there, I was beaten by the devil. Or I was beaten by the devil. Remember me in prayer. We cannot remember in prayer when you are beaten by the devil. How can a soldier be beaten and you have a full armor? You need to tell the church that I resisted the devil. The Bible says resist the devil and the devil will flee. To resist, you must understand the use of the waters of the world. So David was looking in the spiritual realm. And he saw the same spirit in Korea. So David said, okay, you support me, I will fight this enemy. So King Saul said, okay, what you do? You know, you don't know how long we have been in the message. I will give you my uniform. But Saul was taller than David. He was fat. How can the uniform of Saul fit David? Your way of handling things is not my way. Your way of presenting the word is not my way. Your way of preaching is not my way. I will quote a way the Lord has called me. I will quote the way the Lord is leading me. So David tried that uniform, and the uniform was heavier on the body of David. And he said, okay, with these things I cannot. Let me take them off. Don't take another man's ministry. Don't take Brother Branham's ministry. You will not succeed with it. Quote the way the Lord has called you. Take the word of the Lord and put it in your heart. Let the word expand you, strengthen you, anoint you, and give you a balanced standard. The enemy must go. In the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So King David, King Saul wanted David to go with a spear. But the needs that God provided for David was a slingshot. In every country, there is only two strings that can make a slingshot. A slingshot is made by two strings. One string represents the Old Testament. Another string represents the New Testament. And in between was a skin, which was now binding the two strings, and they put a stone in that. That represents the Lord Jesus. In every scripture you read, you must see the Lord Jesus being revealed. So he took the two strings and the Lord gave him revelation that in order to cut off communication system of the Philistine, you need to wind the sling. So he started winding the sling. So Goliath was watching. And he started even ridiculing David. And saying, who is this boy? How can the army of Israel choose a boy to fight a champion like me? And Goliath relaxed. He underestimated the power that was in Timmy. That was showing the little flock that Jesus was speaking about. That my little flock turned fear. So as he was winding the sling, communication system of the Philistines was being cut off. As we understand the word of God and live the word of God, communication system of Satan is cut off. And he has no power to overcome you. So finally, you know what happened. So Goliath was now out of the picture. He was killed. And when he was killed, King Saul said, I make a vow that anyone who kills Goliath, I will give him my daughter. But after David killing Goliath, King Saul did not fulfill the promise. He took that daughter and he gave it to another man, because he did not want David to be the son-in-law. Maybe you are passing through such a condition. You are working and there is no profit. You are investing but there is no increase. Things are not working well for you. Have the heart like David. Continue pressing on. Don't worry. The Lord is on your side. What he promised to do for you, he will do. Don't be stagnated anywhere. So we don't see David crying. Oh, you promised me to give me your daughter. But now you have not given me your daughter. Sometimes we pray for God to give us money, but God gives us patience. Sometimes you pray you want a car, and God gives you more prayer. So God is not a man. He knows what is the best for you. He knows what is the best for the appointed time. So when people were shouting that David has killed 10,000 and King Saul only 100, and the Bible says women were shouting, they were not men. Women represented the church. That when Christ does anything for the church, the church will praise him. The church will uplift him. The church will raise his name higher. So we are those women who are here in Lusaka. We are those women who are in Zimbabwe. We are those women who are in different countries. We are praising. In the morning we have been praising. We have been uplifting him because his name is mighty. His name is powerful. His name is a superpower. There is nothing that can stand before him. Praise the name of the Lord. So the second chance King Saul gave David, that okay, I have another younger sister, but I have one condition. I don't want towering in the form of cattle or sheep, or I don't want silver and gold, but I want 100 foreskins of the Philistines. I have never seen a father-in-law like that requesting such a tower. Or you have seen one here in Zambia. He was requesting the foreskins of the Philistines for what purpose? To go and put them in the bank? So to get those foreskins, you need to go and kill men. And killing them was not easy. Killing Goliath was not easy. But David did not hesitate. He said, "What is my dowry?" So they gave him a letter, and the letter was signed by the father-in-law. "I want 100 foreskins of the Philistine." It represented the flesh. That the flesh was not happy. How a spiritual man like David was growing from glory to glory. The flesh wanted to pull David down. But David, instead of bringing 100 foreskins, he brought 200. He added 100 more. And he brought it to King Saul. So King Saul called a man who was sharp in counting. And he counted and counted and counted. And he said, "It is 200, even 100 more." So Saul said, "Okay, I wanted to trap David so that he can be killed by the Philistines. But now the anointing he has is more than me." The flesh is trying to bind you, but the inner man has more anointing. The inner man is growing more in strength. That is why we must overcome the power of the flesh. So we see here that Goliath was the enemy, and also King Saul was using the flesh to trap David. I know you overcame the world. You overcome these habits of drinking, these habits of the world. But now your major enemy is not the world. It is now this flesh. The flesh is in opposition with the inner man. But we thank God that we are like David. We are overcoming the flesh daily. That is why we are rejoicing before the Lord. That is why we are here ministering to Him. You can see a man or a woman who is in the flesh. He will try to ask you, "How much do you spend by paying the flight from Kenya to Zambia?" And when you tell him, "Okay, I paid $1,500. Say, "That is a lot of money." That is the flesh. What is money before the Lord? What is $1,500 before Jesus? The word that we are preaching is more than money. It is more precious than gold. So you will see that person asking you, shaking the head, saying that, "How can this man waste a lot of money like that?" The second question will ask you, "Who is sponsoring you? But who called me to preach?" The one who called me to preach is the one who is sponsoring me. The one who called Pastor Ferem is the one who will sponsor you. The one who called Pastor Peter is the one who will sponsor you. And to sponsor him, he will command. He will command provision. If provision will come through you, that is upon him. He will not just go and pay people. The Bible says he will command. So what you do is to be faithful. So God commanded people who were supposed to help David. When the Lord calls you in the ministry, He will also give you people to support you. He will give you people who will hear your preaching. He will give you people who will be receiving you. He will give you people who will make your testimony go far and near. That is the doing of the Lord. It is not the doing of man. And He will put the love of God in their hearts so that they love your ministry above every riches. And they will start giving for the Lord. Not giving for the man, but for the Lord. So there was no way that King Saul could deny David to be the son-in-law. So David overcame the power of the flesh. And he was given the first wife, which was called Micah. Let us now focus on Micah. Micah represented the stage of justification. That was the first wife of David. And Michal was spiritual, but he was not more spiritual, because she assisted David in many ways. One day, King Saul wanted to kill David. And when he sent the soldiers, Michal discovered their tricks. And he informed her husband David that my father has sent soldiers to kill you. So David was now in a very difficult condition, because the house was surrounded by the soldiers, ready with their weapons. So Michal told David, I have a revelation on what I will do. I will make something which resembles David, an image. So he took the goat's hair, the skin of the goat, and actually she started making an image like David. While the soldiers were outside. And he took that image and put it on the bed and covered the image with blankets. And she opened the window, which the soldiers did not recognize. And she lifted David, and David escaped through the window. Sometimes when you are in a difficult condition and you have entered the stage of justification, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. There is a way of escape for you when you reach the stage of justification. And that way of escape is the Lord Jesus. He is the only window of escape for your life. And when the soldiers opened the door, Michal was crying. Oh, my husband is sick. My husband is sick. He's very sick. So the soldiers were relaxed. They said, now the man you have come to pick, he's so sick. There is no way of even, you are struggling. So they carried the pit of the image, thinking that David was in the pit. And King Saul said, what you do, carry the man on the pit and bring him here. So those men carried the image, even without checking whether it is a human being or not. Sote you are carrying a heavy luggage. Because of lack of understanding. So when they reached the headquarter, King Saul said, okay, put him here and bring my spear. I want now to direct my spear where the heart is. And when King Saul came with the spear, and he told one of the soldiers, remove the blanket now. Oh, he came to realize it was an image. It was not a human being. My brothers, my sisters, many people are struggling with images instead of the reality. But David was somewhere enjoying life while King Saul was struggling with the image in the blanket. Many people today are struggling with the images. Images of other ministers. Why? Forsaking their ministry. So King Saul started now lamenting. Oh, this is now the trick of my daughter. Why did you make my enemy escape? And Michal was happy, rejoicing, saying, okay, I have saved my husband. When you come in the stage of justification, you will love the word of the Lord. You will rejoice when the word is preached. You will be happy when the word is being ministered. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Michal was not Michal. She represented the stage of justification. That is why she did a lot of service to King David. When you enter justification, you will understand many things in the spiritual reality. The devil will not play around with you because you have more understanding than him. You have more deeper understanding than every forces of the enemy. That is the stage where Martin Luther brought people. When he brought justification by faith, people gained momentum in the spiritual things. And they started understanding the scriptures clearly. And they were measuring every preaching by the scriptures. That is where the Perean church was. When Paul went to Perea, he said the Perean were more noble than the Thessalonians. They were measuring every preaching where Paul was preaching by the scriptures. But today people measure you by the prophet. We need to measure every preaching by the Bible. Brother Branham was measuring every preacher by the Bible. That is why when you see every picture that was taken of the prophet, he was carrying the Bible. I have never seen Brother Branham carrying the tape. He was carrying the Bible. And he is our example. The message is the scriptures. The message that Brother Branham was preaching, he was preaching from the scripture. And when he was saying back to the tape, he was meaning back to the scripture. But today people are carrying images. Like King Saul, without realization, without understanding. How can we overcome the enemy without the reality? In order for people to take the ministry seriously, we need to present a reality. And you cannot present a reality when you have not been called. You need to find calling in order for the Lord to give you the reality. So we thank God for the wife of David, who is called Mika. When she married David, she did not behave like the father. She started behaving like David. When you come to the Lord Jesus, you will start behaving like him, speaking like him, and even doing things like him. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, "I have come to do the will of my Father." We are here doing the will of our Father in heaven. And what is the will of our Father? The will of our Father is the word of God. And the word of God is above every name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Mika did not produce any child with David. She did not produce any child. So when you are in justification, you are still a baby. There is no fruits of the Spirit yet. But you are a Christian, growing. So you need to continue. So we have many people in the stage of Mika. One day when David was now, the ministry was higher, David decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to where it is supposed to belong. You understand what happened? So instead of Mika following David, she remained in the house. And when David was coming, rejoicing, dancing, she opened the same window where David escaped. Instead of praising God, she started now disguising how David was dancing. That look now what kind of husband I have. How can a king dance like that in front of younger women and other people? So when you are in the stage of justification, because you are still having some character which is not grown up, sometimes you will behave abnormal. Sometimes you will miss fellowship purposely, giving fake reasons. That, oh, you know, I had visitors. How can God send visitors on a fellowship day? God cannot send visitors on the fellowship day. That is the tactics of the enemy. And if those visitors were sent of God, they will tell you, "We have come here so that we can attend fellowship with you." But those visitors who come and then they are very happy and you start chasing maybe a chicken, or you are now going to buy very good meat, and you text a message to the pastor, "Oh, remember me in prayer, I am held up with something." And here you are saying that the truth set you free. If those sisters were from God, they will say, "Okay, we have come here specifically for fellowship. And let us go for fellowship. Then after that, we shall come back and we shall talk what we have come." You will know they are from God. But when they arrive on the time of fellowship, that is the agenda of Satan. And Satan will use good people. People whom you esteem. People who are so respectful. And mainly it will be coming from the line of your father-in-law, sons-in-law, brothers-in-law. Bosses who are over you on workplace. So when you are in the stage of justification, sometimes you give fake reasons. Sometimes sisters, when they are in the stage of justification, there will be time when it reaches on Saturday, Tent I will take all the cloth even of the husband. Tent I soak them in water. And he said, complain, ah, my pack is breaking. I wash it tomorrow. So when it reaches in the morning, maybe you are a songs leader, or you have a certain work you are doing in the ministry. And you say, okay, have you prepared my cloth? Say, oh, sorry. I soaked them, and you know I am complaining. I am so sick. You understand how I am. And you don't have any other spare. So you will text a message, oh, pastor, I am not able to come with my family. We are held up with something. Don't be held up by something like just soaking cloth. You come in the church the way you are. Because we are not interested in your clothes. We shall not ask you question or give you interview. That why did you not put on to stay smart? So that is the stage of justification. When a minister is in that stage, he will only come in the church when you have given him your position to minister. But when he's not ministering, he will not come. He will be very busy with the other activities. So I am busy, you know the kind of work that I do. But he will ask you, pastor, when will my time come for preaching? But when he's preaching, he wants people to say amen. But for him, he has not been coming, has been absent. So at the stage of justification is a stage which is not mature people and is not purpose. So David had a lot of work to do on Mika. Jesus has a lot of work to do on people who are still on justification. That is the stage of maturity. So one day David went and he met another man called Napa. That is 1 Samuel chapter 25. When you read that 1 Samuel chapter 25, we shall not read because of time. Because you already know the scripture. This man called Napa, the name means he was a fool. And he had a very beautiful and intelligent wife called Abikai. I wonder how did this man manage to marry Abikai? Abikai was intelligent and the man was a fool. How can a fool have courtship with a sister who is very intelligent? I wonder what happened. But God gave us a way out, a revelation to understand what happened. Nabal was signifying his flesh, and Abikai was signifying the inner man. The inner man inside us is very intelligent. He wants to know only about Jesus. He has love for Jesus. But this pot is foolish. This pot wants to remain in this world. This pot wants you to be absent from the church. This pot loves the things of the flesh. This pot will make you busy, taking like 1.5 hours checking which cloth today can I wear. Checking from one corner of the wardrobe to another. And the pot will be speaking. Yesterday you used this color. Today, don't use this color. But the inner man is saying, I am getting late in the church. Please take me early so that I can have time in fellowship, in prayer, in meditation. But this report will say you have not taken breakfast. And when breakfast is on the table, it tells you you have not taken eggs. It will tell you you have not taken the oil and smeared your body. It will remind you you have not checked your teeth. But the inner man, you have not checked the teeth of the inner man. So Napal is foolish, it is spotty. And the Bible says Napal was rich. This port is rich in the desires of the things of the world. But the inner man is rich in the things of God. So Napal was there for many years, and David was taking care and protecting the property of Napal. David represents Jesus Christ, who is protecting you from every danger as you live in this body. So you need to appreciate him every hour, every day, to enter the gates with thanksgiving. So one day David heard that Napal was shearing the sheep. So he sent 10 young men. 10 is the number of waiting time. 10 men went to the family of Napal. 10 requested Napal that they have come in the name of David. We have come in Zambia in the name of Jesus. We have come in Zimbabwe in the name of Jesus. We work in our country, Kenya, in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, you must work in the name of your husband. So Napal asked them, who is David? They were explaining, okay, David is a man who is protecting your property. He lives somewhere. The preachers are telling you, Jesus Christ is the man who is protecting your life, taking care of you, providing your needs. But your life is asking, who is Jesus? By not living a life which is worthy of the gospel. So finally Napal answered, I will not take my feast or my sacrifice and give to a person who is a wanderer. So the man returned with the answer. And David said, today I will show judgment or vengeance on the house of Napal. How can I protect Napal all the years and nothing was lost, and today is paying evil for good? And Abigail, his wife, he received the revelation that when the men of David came, she was not around. And the servants told Abigail, Napal did evil to the men of David. Then Abigail requested, what did David want? So she recognized the needs of David. Our husband, the Lord Jesus, has also a need. And his need, he wants him to be in you. And he said, I will be in you, and you in me. So that was the request of King David. So God was looking for a way of eliminating Napal and setting Abigail free so that Abigail can marry David. Let us now enter the second stage. So finally Nabal died. You know what happened? And Abigail was now taken as a wife to David. And when David sent his men to Abigail, he sent 5 maids to escort Abigail in the house of David. We have the 5 maids today who are escorting Abigail the bride in the house of Jesus. The 5 maids are apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. They escorted Abigail, and Abigail was on the back of the donkey. Abigail represented the second stage of grace, which was showing sanctification by the blood of Jesus. Abigail had more understanding than Michal. She ministered to David on a higher level than Michal. And Abigail had more revelation to support David. Michal did not support David by giving, but Abigail supported David by giving. When you come in the second stage of sanctification, giving will be part of your life. You will not struggle to give. It will be a part of your life. You will not struggle to sing. It will be part of your life. But when you are in the stage of justification, when you are working somewhere in the farm or on your workplace, a good song can come. Then you start singing. On Monday you are singing. Tuesday you are singing. Wednesday you are singing. Just getting ready and saying, okay, this song, when it reaches on Sunday, I will also request a song request, and then I will sing this song and bless the church. On Saturday, you are still memorizing that song. Sunday morning, you are still singing, but as soon as you arrive in the church, the song evaporates. Now you start scratching your head. I wanted to sing this song. Don't worry, because you are in the stage of justification. But when you reach sanctification, you are now holy before the Lord. There is no song that will evaporate. It is part of your life, part of your ministry. Prayer is not a struggle. It is part of your life. Thanksgiving is not a struggle. It is part of your life. So when Abigail went and joined David, the Bible says that Nabal was already dead. So we thank God that our Nabal is dead. So we are now free to serve the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. We shall never turn back again. And we see David did not just rejoice and say, okay, it is now final. He continued in his ministry, and one day when people were going for war, David remained at home. And when he remained at home, the Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We shall read that place, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1 up to 5. Second Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 up to 5. I will read. And it came to pass after the year was ended, at a time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass at the evening time that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in into him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with a child." We see Bathsheba. She represented the last stage of grace, the stage of being filled by the Holy Spirit. I will not talk about David having a fornication, or they call it fornication or adultery. Yeah, but I will talk it on the spiritual realities. Rim. This woman, Bathsheba, she was the wife of Uriah. And Uriah was a mighty man. For many years he had been with Bathsheba. They did not produce any child. And God was looking on the lineage of Judah. And God was looking that lineage, and he wanted another military man. He wanted a king who could inherit the position of David. And God chose Bathsheba. It was not a mistake that David did. It was ordained by God. That is how God wanted things to be. Because the Bible says that this woman, when her husband was away in the battlefield, she received revelation and she took water. The Bible does not tell us that she went inside the bathroom, but she stood outside openly. Then she started washing herself. And God anointed David. Instead of David walking on the floor of his house, he climbed the roof, the floor of the roof of his house. On the day of Pentecost, when Jesus arose from the dead, the Bible says that he appeared to many people before ascending and before sending the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that he assembled all disciples in Jerusalem. Then Jesus ascended on high. When he ascended on high, he climbed a higher dimension than David. He is now walking upon the roof of heaven, looking upon Bathsheba. Bathsheba is you and me. And they had a divine connection between David and Bathsheba. And Bathsheba took the water. It was the waters of the word. It was not just ordinary water. She took the waters of the word. Then she started perfume. And David saw her. So when we are here in Lusaka, bathing in the waters of the word, Jesus, our husband, is looking at us, is interested in our life. The love affair is increasing. And finally, 12 sent messengers to inquire whose wife is that. So our tempt is the Lord Jesus has sent messengers. Messengers are preachers. They have come with a special message to tell Bathsheba, who is bathing by the waters of the world, that there is a higher dimension that the Lord of Lords is calling you to. And the Bible says, they went with Bathsheba to David. The message is carrying us to our greater David, who is the Lord Jesus, who is interested in our affair, who is greater than every obstacle. In order for David to take Bathsheba, Uriah must die. In order for us to go in the rapture, the body, our flesh must die. Our flesh must go. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. But today we are being changed from glory to glory. So the union between Bathsheba and David produced King Solomon. So our union between the bride and the bridegroom produced the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus, at the life of Jesus, is the life full of peace. King Solomon was the king of peace. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said unto them, receive peace. Peace is not absence of war. Peace is the presence of Jesus Christ. We need peace. Peace is the person. Hallelujah. So when Bathsheba was having that affair, it made Uriah to die. When the Holy Spirit comes in you in fullness, every element of this world must die. Any elements of human mentality, human thinking, must die. And the Lord will now take over. So you will not just do things the way you want. Now you become a prisoner like Paul. So now Bathsheba become a prisoner to David. And they lived a life which was full of anointing. And when Solomon was growing, other older sons, they wanted to overtake the kingdom by force. They represented false teachings, which are now on the land. They want to take the glory of Christ by force. But Bathsheba went with a request and told King David, you promised me that my son Solomon will be the king. Our request today, this morning, this afternoon, is, Lord Jesus, you promised that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and you will reign upon us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that David was stricken with tears. That was showing the end time. The end of all things is very near. David is now stricken with many years. The end is very, very near, my brothers, my sisters. Let us run this race with patience and endurance. So Patishepo was running that race with endurance and patience. And he was reminding David that, oh, you promised that my son will be king. And David said, sure, I have not forgotten my promise. The Lord has not forgotten his promises upon you and me. What he promised is able and more than able to fulfill. So finally we see what happened. David told his commander and the prophet, and told the high priest who were around there, that go and prepare my son Solomon, and take my own animal which I tried, and bring him to Kihon, and I anoint him to be king over Israel. We are now in the last stage of anointing. The Lord is anointing the eagles, anointing our wings to balance on the winds that is blowing today. There is many winds blowing, but the Lord has given us strong wings, the same wings that he gave King Solomon. So there was another brother of Solomon who was already having a feast, and he was anointed with the wrong men to be king. He had more multitudes than King Solomon, but he lacked connection with the Father. Maybe there is many things happening around you. Don't worry about them. The Lord is anointing you for the great event that is ahead of us. That is none other than rapture. And it is very, very near. So finally, Solomon became a king. And David instructed Solomon that make sure those men who rose against me and you, they should not allow it to live. Those things that rose against your life, the Lord will not allow them to continue disturbing you. The kingdom of Jesus is the kingdom of peace. Any disturbing spirit or element in your life must be separated. When King Solomon took over, there was no stubborn spirit in his kingdom. He turned with them, and they were removed from his kingdom. So I want to summarize about the needs of the pride. So already we have been speaking about the first need, which was the name of Jesus. And we have looked upon the second need, which is the waters of the word. Because we cannot go to our husband unless we are washed properly. Let us take a third step, which is food. The bride needs food. You cannot marry a woman and you are not able to feed her. She will not respect you. Jesus, as our husband, is the provider. He provided when men were hungry in the desert. He fed the multitudes with bread and fish. We see another man called Boaz. He pours in the book of Ruth. He provided for the needs of Ruth by providing food for Ruth. Our spiritual food is provided by our husband. The bride needs these things for the survival. We need spiritual food urgently. And we see when Jesus arose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples when they were fishing on the lake. Early in the morning, Jesus provided fish and bread which were on the fire. We need food which is warm. We don't need cold food. Cold food is history. But we need warm food so that we can be hot in the things of the Lord. The Bible needs the bride to be hot. We see another need of the bride is the coming. After providing water, the name of the husband, then the bride has enough food. Then the bride, the needs that the bride is needing today is the coming. This coming represented the Holy Ghost. We see a man by the name of Eliezer. When he was going to espouse Rebekah to Isaac, Isaac gave him many garments. He gave him garments to give to the father and mother. And he gave very expensive garments for his bride. So we need the command of the Holy Ghost as part of preparation to meet our bridegroom. I have never seen a bride who is preparing to marry without a coming. She is always given the best by the husband. So as we preach the word of God, the word is clothing our inner man with revelation and power. And this coming is not just provided for leisure. It is provided as a token of love. We see another need of the bride is shoes. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, we shall put on the shoes, the sandals, to be ready in season and out of season. That is to make the bride ready for takeover. So we need shoes to possess. It shows that we have ability to possess more land. There is many things that the Lord wants you to possess. Don't be contented with the little spirituality you have. We still need more and more as we fellowship before the Lord Jesus. Also, we see Joshua, when he went to possess the land, he was having shoes to be ready for the work of the Lord. Shoes also was showing that we need to be missionary minded. Amen. To support the work of the Lord in the missionary field. Because a person who is putting on shoes means he is ready for the journey. So we are not called just to be stagnant here in Zambia, in Lusaka. We need to put on shoes and go to Rufuma, as I was hearing the testimony. So we need to choose. If you cannot go, you will give shoes to a person who is ready to go. That is the work that we need to support for the missionaries who are in the mission field. We see that in the ministry of Jesus, there were many women who supported him, not just by cooking food or washing clothes, but by giving money and other support for the ministers whom Jesus were ministering with. That is the some of the needs that we need in this journey. I am here because some brethren provided shoes for me. So that shoes enable me to get a flight to Harare. So the church in Chitungwiza has provided shoes for me to make me reach here in Lusaka. So when we came with Brother Tindirika, when he said, "Look, I will take you by my own car," that is the shoes. So it's giving support for missionaries. Make sure that you give what you have for the Lord. Yeah, well, one day when I was in one of the town in Congo, I went to minister in a town called Yakipush. Yeah, on the port of Zambia and Congo. So I had never came to a point whereby I could so let me say this. When I was there, after ministering on the 30th day, yeah, some young men came and called me in my house. That, "Pastor, we want to see you." I was wondering, what does this young man want to do? So when we went behind the house, I saw that they had prepared a place for me. They had put a chair there and some shaving machine. So I was wondering, what is the purpose of this? So they told me, "Okay, we have seen a need. We want to shave your hair. We don't want your head to be shaved by non-believers. Because this is the head which is carrying a very important message." In my life, I had never seen that. My head should not be tied with anybody. So they told me, "Don't allow your head to be touched by anybody to shave you." So from that time, I am very selective. I don't allow my head to be touched by anybody. So they took around 2 hours shaving me. So they said, "Okay, this is now our time to share with you. Because when we shave you quickly, the pastor will take you." So I enjoyed their company, and my eyes were also opened. So they told me, "Pastor, from today, you must know that you are not an ordinary vessel touched by anybody." I said, "Okay, God, thank you for opening my eyes." And while they were shaving me, a younger sister was standing there waiting. So I was wondering, what is now this younger girl wants to do? So after shaving, yeah, she told me, "Pastor, I have something to give you. I am a tailor." She told me, "I am a tailor. I am learning how to make some clothes. And this is now the first shirt that I have made. I want to give it as a token so that I can be blessed." So he gave me that shirt in 2012. Up to now, I still have that shirt. I wear it very carefully because it is a testimony. So, my brothers and my sisters, we need to recognize that serving God is not just coming on Sunday and singing and chanting, and after fellowship we say, oh, God bless you and greet your people back home. That is not the major purpose. We need to be part of the work of God. One day when I was in Tarizalam ministering, I saw pickups coming with food in the house of the pastor. So I asked the pastor, is it for commercial purposes? Do you do business of selling food? He said, no. This food the church members are bringing because you are a feaster for the church. My brothers, my sisters, a feaster of the church is not a feaster for the pastor. Everybody must be concerned. When we receive feasters for the church, everybody must support. Because we have not received the people, we have received Jesus. And we must be concerned about their welfare. So when you move out, you will see that God is moving upon his children to show the needs of the bride. And that is why we are here today. And in many places, sometimes we go after fellowship, people will disappear as if they were coming from a prison. You will only remain there with the pastor and make with a deacon. And they will only call on the phone, hello, pastor, has the feast gone back? We are not feasters of the pastor. We are a feaster for the body of Christ here. So we must have time with one another. Because that is some of the needs of the bride. So we need to understand that, my brothers, my sisters, this is not the work of one person. It is the work of many-membered body. We were speaking about the shoes. So another thing for the need of the bride is water. And already we have talked up many things about the water. And the last thing or the need of the bride is the house. You cannot marry a woman and you have no house. So Jesus said, I am going to prepare a mansion. So that is our need. He has gone ahead of us to prepare a mansion. And he has been preparing this mansion for 2,000 years. Oh, what a wonderful engineer we have. Our house in heaven has taken nearly 2,000 years. But we have many construction companies who are building houses for 7 years, 3 years, 2 years. But it is not easy to see an engineer building a house for 10 years. But our mansion is being built for 2,000 years. Angels are very busy. And many things are being done in that mansion. So here on earth, he has sent also a ministry to make sure that the bride has every need. And the Lord is so concerned. And in the book of Joshua, Joshua said, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. The house represented faith. The faith that we have in this hour. We share the same house. In Parker in my home. We share the same faith or the same house with you here. I have come to see our house here in Zambia. When we were there in Zimbabwe, we came to share the same house. This house has one baptism. It has one spirit. And it has only one direction. May God bless us all.
Are you blessed?
Amen.
Oh, it's just wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And it's a pity our ministers are just with us.